connection to the story of Gideon. So we're kind of limited in how much I can really say about this because it's a big story, but we're going to look at just the first few verses in the book of Judges, chapter 6. There's three principal actors in the story that we're going to look at this morning. The first is God. And I don't think that I really need to introduce you to God. Most of you probably already know about him. But just keep in mind that God is in control and he has a purpose in what he does. The next person that I want to tell you about is Gideon himself. Gideon is a direct descendant of Abraham. He's one of the Hebrew people. He's a Jew. He's a direct descendant of Abraham. Remember Abraham? He had a son named Isaac who had a son named Jacob. And then Jacob had 12 sons. And those 12 sons became the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. The next person that we need to look at are the Midianites, the Midians. And the Midians are also, surprise, surprise, descendants of Abraham. Because Abraham had how many sons? He had 8. Remember, after Sarah died, Abraham was kind of like the dapper man around town, and he found a wife, and apparently she was younger because she bore him 6 sons, and one of whom was named Midian. The difference between Gideon and the Midianites is that Gideon is one of the people of promise. Jesus had promised through Abraham and through Isaac and through Jacob, he'd promised them the what we call the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the home for the Jews, the home for the Israelite people. His other sons, Abraham's other sons, well, they kind of got scattered around, and they were off on their own. And the Midianites, descended from the son of Abraham who was named Midian, the Midianites went and lived in what is today the northwest corner of Saudi Arabia. They were out in the desert. And even though in this story they're going to be the villains, at one time they were actually kind of friendly with the Jews. If you remember when Moses committed murder, you know, Moses the good guy, yeah, he committed murder. He fled out into the desert and he lived with the Midianites. As a matter of fact, his wife was a Midianite. So you have this relationship between the Jews and the Midians, and eventually it doesn't go so well. The Jews go into the promised land, the land that is great agricultural, good place to live, and the Midianites are out in the desert, and they are not farmers. They don't get crops the way that the Jewish people are able to cultivate the land. And so what they do is they come up into Israel, into the promised land, and they raid Israel, taking their crops and thus oppressing the Jewish people. Just a little side note here. In the book of Ruth, you know, there's a famine in Bethlehem, and there are scholars who believe that famine was not necessarily due to bad weather or to crop failure, that might have been a result of tribes coming up and taking the food from the Jewish people. That's just a little side note. So anyway, let's go ahead and read our scripture for today. It's Judges, the 6th chapter, verses 11 through 18. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you. You shall strike the Midianites as one man, And he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please, do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay till you return." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that we have stories of people who are heroes, that don't start out as heroes, but because you are with them, they do mighty deeds and they do them in your name. We pray that you would bless us this morning and you would help us to see that we too are to have courage in the face of adversity. And we pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see the word of the Lord coming to Gideon, and Gideon's reaction to it is, "Why me? Look, Lord, we've heard about things that you've done in the past. We've heard about how you brought people out of Egypt. We've heard about how you broke the shackles of slavery on our people in Egypt. But those are stories of the past. Where are you now? Where are you?" And the Lord basically is telling him, "Well, I'm here right now, and I have a mission for you." And Gideon says, "Why me? I am the least of the least. I'm the least of my family. We're the lowest family here, and I'm the last person in that family." And so you're kind of like, wow, this guy is really down and out. Well, actually, he might not be that down and out. Skipping ahead to verse 27, which is not part of what I'm supposed to be covering today. Skipping ahead to verse 27, we see that it says that Gideon went out with 10 of his servants. Poor people don't usually have servants. And whether it was these servants were his employees in his little business that he had, or if they were his personal servants, we don't know. But the point is, he couldn't have been that down and out. He was making excuses. And that's not uncommon. When the Lord comes to us, a lot of times we find reasons not to go out and be courageous like the Lord wants us to be. We find reasons. And in the Bible, you see this all the time. Moses, for example, when God came to Moses and he said, "Moses, I want you to go before Pharaoh and you tell him, let my people go." And Moses is like, "Not me. I'm not the person for that." And God says, "Oh, yes, you are, and you're going, boy." We also see the prophet Jeremiah. When God comes to Jeremiah and says, "I want you to go to the people and this is what I want you to tell them." And Jeremiah says, "I'm too young." And God is a little more gentle, I think, with Jeremiah. And he says, "Actually, you're the one that I want." And he empowers Jeremiah to go forth. But you look at these three men and you wonder, what is it about them that makes them want to back off and not necessarily do what God is calling them to do? Well, in the case of Moses, remember, he had committed murder and he's out in the desert and he may not have wanted to go back into Egypt. That's one thing. He might have been afraid. He also apparently had a defect in the way that he talked. He just had a speech impediment. And so he probably felt maybe he would be embarrassed to go before Pharaoh. I don't know. In the case of Jeremiah was willing, but he also realized his shortcomings. And God told him, "Your shortcomings aren't really shortcomings. I'm empowering you." With the case of Gideon, I'm not sure about him. He might have been afraid. Remember, the Midianites were ravaging the countryside. They were taking everything in sight that they could get and using it for their own purposes. So maybe he was afraid. Maybe he just didn't want to be involved. This is something for somebody else to do. Or he may have really thought that his complaint against God was legitimate when he said, "You know, you've abandoned us." And of course, God hadn't abandoned him. God is in control and God has a purpose. And that's something that we need to remember. No matter how good things are, no matter how bad things are, God is in control and God has a purpose. And God tells Gideon, "I am with you." What does it mean when God says that he's with us? I suppose it means different things to different people in different situations. So what does it mean when we say that God is with you? God is with you. What does that mean to us? Well, for an answer to that, I look to the book of Judges, and I look to the first chapter the book of Joshua. I look to the book of Joshua, the first chapter of Joshua. Now, God comes to Joshua, and he tells him, as we all know, you're going to go out, and you're going to secure the promised land. And Joshua doesn't object. As a matter of fact, Joshua is willing to do it. And God tells him, I am with you. I am going to be with you. And here's what the Lord says to Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. This is the second time he says, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. That's the third time. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's what we need to remember. God is with us wherever we go. And Gideon, you know, you have to kind of be on his side, I think, just a little bit. The people were supposed to come in and take the land, and they only got so far in that. What happened to them was they started going astray. They started looking at the local gods. They were supposed to get the people out of the land, the pagan people out of the land, and take over. But they looked to the pagan gods, and they got away from worshiping Yahweh. They started looking to what was around them. And sometimes when God promises things, when God makes promises to us, for example, we see what's going on around us and we kind of forget. We kind of forget a little bit that we are to stay with the program. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Look to God. Look to God alone and only Him. But that's not what the Israelites did when they came into the promised land. They only got so far, and then they decided, well, look at what's going on over here. That's not so bad. Look what's going over there. That's not so bad. And so they started to wander away. And as they started to wander away, God sort of drew back a little bit. They got to, you know, if this is what you want, then this is what you can have. If you want to stray to these other gods, if you want to yield to these other people, then go ahead, God says, and he draws back from them. And that's Gideon's complaint, as he says, look, you have not kept your hand on us. You haven't kept your hand on us. And of course God has. Because one of the ways that we learn about God, one of the ways that we learn to appreciate Him, is He does let us wander off a little bit, but He brings us back. He always brings us back, because God is always in command and God has a purpose. And we see that purpose from the time of Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, through the New Testament to Revelation, and we see God's purpose even today. God has a purpose for us as God's people. So Gideon is told to go out, you're going to take back the land. Just as Joshua went out and took the land, now you're going to go out and you're going to recover Israel for your people. You're going to recover Israel for God's people. And God is going to be with you. The Lord is going to be with you. Be courageous. Don't get discouraged. And that's a message for us today, is be courageous. Don't get discouraged. We've got a lot of things going on around us. The world is moving quickly, and sometimes it seems like the world is overwhelming, but it shouldn't be overwhelming to us, because we should always turn to God, to always not go off to the left, not go off to the right, but keep forging ahead, straight ahead. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. God is in command, and God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Remember, we all have what are called spiritual gifts. And sometimes, unfortunately, we might walk away from those spiritual gifts. We might not either seem worthy of them, or we might just not want to be bothered with it. You know, one of the things that we talk about frequently is God sightings, where we see the hand of God in our lives. Sometimes it seems we don't really want the hand of God in our lives, and we call that sin. It's kind of like we know that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus leads us through this life day by day, hour by hour. And then we get to this point where we say, you know, Holy Spirit, you've been hard at work. Why don't you take a break? And that's when we start to go wrong, when we start to veer off and think that, you know what, I can do this all by myself. But God says he is with us. He told that to Moses when Moses said, I can't do this. God says, I am with you. Jeremiah said, you know what? You might want to rethink this. God said, I am with you. And with Gideon said, you know what? I just don't want to do it. I really don't. And God says, you're going to do it, and I'm going to be with you. Sometimes we get into situations that we want to get out of, and we're uncomfortable. I'll tell you a little story. A couple of months ago, I was doing what I've learned to do very well, and that is sit in the waiting room of a doctor's office. And I was sitting there, and I was minding my own business, in my own thoughts, and I was actually kind of enjoying being there, and this lady next to me starts talking to me. And I'm like, why? I really am not into this. I don't, you know. And it turns out she wants to talk about religion. So now it perks me up. Okay, now I'm ready to go. And it turns out that early in her life, in her young adult life, she had been a Roman Catholic. And she told me about something that a priest had said to her. And I have to admit that if I had been there at that time, I would have taken the side of the priest. But she took offense at it. And as a consequence, she left the Roman Catholic Church, and she has drifted through several different religions. And today, she is into what is called metaphysics. And she asked me a question. She said, do you believe that God is everywhere? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, well, if God is everywhere, then God is that chair. And I'm like, God is not that chair. And she says, oh, yes, you just said God is everywhere. And if God is everywhere, then he is that chair. And she didn't get I could not get through to her the concept of there's a separation between the creator and the created. So I'm sitting there trying to be really nice to her. And she's going on about this stuff, this garbage, but I guess I need to be polite. I'll call it garbage. And I get to this point where I'm really not wanting to take it anymore, and I prayed. I said, Lord, get me out of this situation. And immediately, my name was called. And I got to go into the doctor's office. And as I got up to go, I said to the lady, I said, I lied. I said, I really enjoyed our conversation, and it's too bad that we can't continue. And I was able to say that because I knew that I would never, ever see her again. Later that day, I saw her again. Only this time, instead of her coming up to me, I went up to her. And as I went up to her and started talking, I realized, oh, this is a mistake. And as she and I started having this conversation, I heard this little voice in my head. And it might have been a word from the Lord, or it might have been my own act of imagination. And this little voice said, you prayed to get away from her once. That prayer will not be honored again. God is in control. We may not always like it, but he has a purpose. And my purpose that day was, or God's purpose that day was for me to talk to that lady. And I wasn't harmed by it. My courage was a little, I wasn't as enthusiastic about it as I might have been. But the point is, God has a plan, and his plans are going to come about. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Just like we look to the people in the Bible and we see Moses who was reluctant, Gideon who was reluctant, and Jeremiah was reluctant. Often we also are reluctant, but God has a plan, and God's plan will come to fruition. Remember, we all have what are called spiritual gifts. A few months ago, we had a spiritual gifts workshop here at Covenant. It took 8 weeks, and some of us found out a little bit more about ourselves, a little bit more about our relation with Jesus Christ. And we learned that we have something that everybody needs, everybody else needs in the body of Christ, something that is unique to us that we get to participate. Indeed, we are commanded to participate in the life of the church. And remember that Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. The branches are important. The vine is the most important because the branches come out of that. But the branches serve a purpose. They serve a purpose. One of the things that I've learned is that we're talking about bodies now. How important a body is. As I said, I've gotten a lot of experience in doctor's offices in the last couple of years. And one of the things that I've learned is how important the different parts of the body really are. You know, we're told that we're all part of the body of Christ, and some of us may be like arms and some of us like toes and all of that. Well, when you get into biology, you find out how important the different parts of the body really are. To give you an example, the best explanation I've ever gotten about how my heart works didn't come from my cardiologist. It came from my kidney doctor, because she explained to me that if your heart's not working right, who cares about your kidney? And that's true. One of the things that I learned about nutrition is you can have diabetes and you can take all the diabetes medicine you want, but if you make Krispy Kreme your new best friend, you got a problem. So you have to be careful, and you have to participate in the right way in the body of Christ. But we're all called to have a part, and we all should know what that is. And if you don't, pray about it. Talk to other Christians. See how people look at you. Because we're called to be courageous. We're called to go straight ahead. And we're called to resist the world. And it's hard. As I said, God's purpose, we see God's purpose start in Genesis and go right up today. In Gideon's time, what the Lord told Gideon was, go take back the land that I have given my people. Take back the land that I have given my people. Today, we're not about taking back land. But what we are about is going out and seeking our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who do not yet know they are brothers and sisters in Christ. In other words, we call that mission. We call it the Great Commission. And there's all sorts of ways to do it. We're called in all different ways. Today is Father's Day, for example. Being a good Christian father is part of the Great Commission. It's explaining to your children Jesus Christ. That's part of being a good father. Being a good employee. Being a good neighbor. Just participating in the life of the church, like in Vacation Bible School or in Sunday school or in various small groups. Being an usher. Working in the church office. All of these work together. They're all parts of the body of Christ that work together, that are all necessary in some way. And you know, if you take one of those people out, just take one of those people out and send them off somewhere, get them out of the way, the body of Christ has a problem. We're less than what we should be. We are all called to be courageous. We all have a mission in Jesus Christ. And I think that it's really, really, really important that when we look to Joshua and he says, be strong and courageous. God says, be strong and courageous and lead people in the land that I give them. It's important for us to be strong and courageous and to lead people to Christ in whatever way that God has commanded each and every one of us individually to do. It can be frightening at times. You're going to get opposition. But remember, look for the hand of God in your life. Look to see where He is active in your life and embrace it. Embrace God in your life. And I talk about the Great Commission because that's one of the things that I'm really enthusiastic about. And we look at it and we go, oh, so we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to make disciples for Christ. Just like Gideon was supposed to go out and take back the land that God had given his people. Well, how am I going to do that? What am I supposed to do? Well, each one of us has to figure out for himself or herself what it is that God is calling us to do. And sometimes we have doubts and sometimes we wonder about it. And I know sometimes in the middle of the night when it's really dark and I have nobody else to talk to except myself, I start to wonder about things like that. And it's a good time to pray. And I pray and I pray and I read the Bible and I just pray some more. And I wonder what it is that God has for me. And as I go along, I see the hand of God active in my life. I see Him moving me in certain directions. And I see Him pulling me back from other things. And the important thing to remember, and it's told to Moses, it's told to Gideon, it's told to Jeremiah, and it's told to us. The very last words in the Gospel of Matthew, the very last words of the Great Commission, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done for us. And we ask forgiveness for being largely a very ungrateful people, kind of like Gideon, because we look to the problems in our lives rather than the promises that you make to us, even the promises that you have already fulfilled. And we forget the promises that you've already fulfilled. So please be with us, help us, lead us and guide us, O Lord, and let us ever, always be thine. And we pray this in Jesus' name. We pray this in Jesus' name because Jesus is the purpose. Jesus is the purpose that we're here today. Jesus is the purpose that we live our lives, and Jesus is the purpose for which we will eventually leave this life and go on into eternity and be with you always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we come to the prayers of the people. And before I get started with the prayers of the people, I want to bring to your notice one thing in here that was inadvertently overlooked this morning in the announcements. And it was my fault, not his, although he was there, so I'll blame it on him. Sorry. In the announcements, you'll see it says news and reminders. It says upcoming river baptism. That's really cool. Go to the river and see a baptism. And you might want to read that. It's a baptism on Sunday, June 28th, next Sunday. And look at the announcement in the bulletin. And if you're able, plan to go. That's a really cool thing. A lot of times, you know, we baptize people right here in the sanctuary, but when you get a chance to go out to a river and see a baptism, that is like really cool. That's like the way it should be done. Not really. Baptism is a baptism, and it's good any way that it's done. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning with our prayers of concern and our prayers of praises. We praise you that we're able to gather here this morning. We praise you that your hand is in our lives. We praise you for the country in which we live. We praise you for our church. We praise you for the good weather, which is better than a lot of places in the country. We praise you for just being a good God that even though when we don't see your hand in our lives, it's there. And when we go astray, your hand is still upon us. And we pray that you would give us courage. We pray that we would not be discouraged, but we would go forward in the Great Commission, that we would go forward in all the things that you have commanded us to do, keeping in mind that the Bible is, people say the Bible is full of a lot of rules. It's actually full of a lot of commandments, things that we're supposed to do. So forgive us for not always doing the things that we know we should do, but we thank you for your forgiveness. And we pray for those among us that we have a concern for. One of the things that we have a concern for is our pastor nominating committee. And we pray that you would give them courage, that they would have discernment, that they would consider things carefully, that they would not be in a hurry, that they would listen to your voice. We also pray for people who need healing. Nancy, Joyce, Ernie, Greg, Elaine, Steve, Nancy, another Nancy. And there are people who are facing life circumstances, like Ariana and Eliana. Life circumstances are tough. We sometimes think we're up against a brick wall, and often it's just a small curb that we need to step over, but we don't always realize that. We don't see it without your help. So be with all these people. Also, please remember the family and friends of Don Minch. You know, when we lose a loved one, even if we know that we're going to see them again in heaven, there's this emptiness in our heart, and we ask that you would fill the hearts of the family and friends of Don. We pray for our new neighbors, the people who have just moved in or are moving in the houses above the church. Church is a good place for them to look down on, and we pray that they would perhaps see a full parking lot and they'd think, wow, I wonder what's going on there. And that not only would they see the full parking lot on a Sunday, but they would also look down and they would see there's things going on other days of the week, and it might pique their curiosity. We pray for those among us who are on active military duty. We pray for Noah and Taryn and Cody and Matthew and Weston and Chase and Levi, Gary, Miley, Brian, Margaret, Benjamin, Chandler, Caleb, and Jacob. These are people that are important to us. They're people we know are important to you. And they willingly face danger every day. Even if they're here in the United States, they still go through dangerous training exercises. And we pray for the first responders and the doctors and the police officers and the firemen. And we know that you take care of us, Lord. And once again, we ask for courage, that we would go forth knowing that you are with us. We pray that each one of us would realize what our gifts are to contribute to the life of not just this congregation, but to the church worldwide. And we come before you and we honor you as our Father and glorify you. And we pray together the words that were taught to us by Jesus Christ, our Savior, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So let's join together in our closing hymn this morning. It's number 572. I know it's a favorite of a lot of you all, because you've told me, Onward Christian Soldiers.